That's Lee Morgan on trumpet opening Midtown Blues. It's from his 1960 album, Leeway, which also features Jackie McLean, who composed the tune, on alto sax, Bobby Timmons on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Art Blakey on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. No shortage of topics to talk about, and particularly so because we have been concentrating on what became the inevitability, and that is we had war in Syria, and of course we still must maintain that the United States is still at war there. And yesterday we had the mother of all bombs dropped in Afghanistan. I imagine, you know, Deepak Chopra had said last week that the president has no emotional compass, no moral compass, in effect, that these actions that alarm us apparently don't alarm him or anybody in his administration to the extent that they would just get a hold of themselves and behave differently. But so the floor is open. The phones are open at 888-874-4888. So we can get to talking about the madness this week. Ray from Florida, are you on the air?
Yes, hi, Eutrice.
Hello.
I made a very interesting contact two nights ago, and it's someone who has a great deal to say about the two questions you've raised on Wednesday and Thursday's show, being, is Trump being controlled, and why is there no opposing outcry in Washington? And it's Robert David Steele, who's a retired CIA officer.
Yes.
He is trying to do as many interviews as possible in the next few weeks up through the end of April. And he has contacts in the administration. He has some really visionary ideas for forming new systems. And he has a plan for a third-party coalition in the event that his efforts in Washington don't work out. And when I wrote him and told him about Lee's stories, he immediately wrote me back and said, let's get this interview going. So,
well, just drop me a note with the particulars. The name is very familiar to me. I think he has been on several programs, but I mostly see them on YouTube. That I recall the last couple of times I've seen him, it's been on YouTube, but very insightful. So just send me as much information as you can, contact information at leadstories@gmail.com.
And oh, I've got your address.
Let's hear what he has to say.
I certainly will. You'll have it before the show's over.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Okay.
But your own view, you neglected to say. What is your own view?
Well, my own view, especially about yesterday's question, where is the outcry? I heard that one of the few heroes I've got left, Tulsi Gabbard, you know, stood up and said, can't we have an inquiry into what is really going on in Syria?
And well, you see what they did to her.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
carved her into a million pieces.
Howard Dean immediately said that we needed to vote her out of office, which is Democrat on Democrat violence. And that and another simplistic but true explanation is that when people see which way the tide is going, they're reluctant to interrupt their own paychecks and their own pensions. Because when you step out of line, you know, you're just ejected. It's like the James Bond movie with the ejector seat in the car. You're just thrown out. So I think that has a lot to do with what's going on, you know.
Well, you got us started today. And thank you for the offer of providing the information that would advance the conversation even more. Thanks so much, Ray, for calling in. We have Walter from Virginia. You're on the air.
Yes, hello, Utrecht. It's been a long time since I spoke with you. And hello to the Utrecht Lead audience.
Oh, thank you so much for that. Thank you. And same to you. Hello. What is your thinking about this week's events?
Well, my thinking about this week's events basically parody the previous caller in the sense that the folks that are withholding their outcry, you know, are fully aware of the problem. They're fully aware of the issues. They definitely see where this is going. But again, they're not going to go against the side of which their bread is buttered. So it's generally a money and power and control type of issue. Okay, so they are not going to go against the hand that feeds them. So that's why there is no outcry, because our government has basically been bought and paid for many, 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 many years, period. And so the power elite know that, and they know that the money that they pump into these campaigns, either overtly or covertly, is the lifeblood to their power. So with that said, and one of the reasons I wanted to call is because you always talk about about the systems that basically control us, that control our government, and that basically lead geopolitics. And so, you know, as George Clinton once said, the bigger the headache, the bigger the pill. And we definitely have a big headache, which requires a big pill.
So just so you know, China, in a report by the BBC, China is saying that it fears that after the mother of all bombs was dropped yesterday, and North Korea has begun to prepare for a war with the United States, some kind of conflict with the United States, China says that could happen at any moment, and that if such a war occurred, there will be no winner. Now, you see, I mean, it's getting more and more intense, and for the life of me, I can't imagine why people of this stature, these are people who are at the very top of governments, they have such fear about what they're witnessing, because they know where it's going to end up going. And we have, you know, Donald Trump having one of his sit-down press conferences surrounded by the army and talking about what a great job. They're doing a great job. Just the United States has the best military and the best bombs. And, you know, they're doing a great job. It's like the Mr. Magoo factor, where he doesn't see anything, or he does not own up to the fact that he has caused an incredible series of events to occur that keep getting us closer and closer to Armageddon.
I wholeheartedly agree. And I believe that we, the people, okay, who basically have, you know, for lack of a better term, no dog in this fight, who believe in peace, and who believe in diplomacy, you know, are pretty much left with very, very few options on how we can alter the course of events, particularly if, as you were noting, that they might be imminent. So, you know, that leaves us very little recourse of what we can do, I guess, in the short term to change things, but just keep working on a strategic, systematic approach in the long term to not only reform our government, because I believe our government is totally beyond reforming or overhauling, but to start creating systems, as you always noted, amongst ourselves, sort of like being like of but apart, like the Amish community, in the sense that we work towards our own independence in terms of our finances, in terms of our lifestyle, in terms of our collective groups of where we choose to live. And
I think Walter, here's a question to you, though. I agree with you because, you know, I have said these things. We have to devise our own systems because, you know, we have to survive. But now we are faced with a situation where the pressure is on. Very immediate solutions have to be found to curb. How do we curb? What is supposed to happen to put a leash on this renegade president who is marching us all, no matter what systems we have, if we have any at all? We have a president who has continued to place the country and much of the world in a very precarious position, breaking the law, breaking international law, breaking U.S. law, as a matter of fact. We have the Democratic Party is as if, I mean, is anybody alive there? Is anybody living and breathing? We have no opposition to the insanities being committed every day now by Donald Trump. So how do we approach this? What is the solution? What do you think?
Well, I think the solution lies threefold, and I believe it's judicial, legislative, as well as executive. And what do I mean by that? What do I mean by that is, first and foremost, there needs to be, and has been said on your program many, many times, a symbiosis, a coalition of all the groups that are progressive groups to come together under one big tent to come up with a strategic plan. A strategic plan of judicial action where we are going into the courts, where we have folks like Alton Maddox and folks of his ilk who are the legislative acumen to go into the courts to bring a class action suit or some type of action suit to basically challenge the legislature through the courts in terms of the War Powers Act to try to prevent or get some type of injunction on some types of military action. From the legislative portion, we saw this recently with Trump and the health care bill, where we had people going into town hall meetings on the congressional level and basically making their voices heard in a massive scale across the country, and particularly sense of congressional districts, letting our representatives know on no certain terms that if you go in this direction, you will not be elected in the next term. From an executive standpoint, well, I think that's where we have to have the outreach in the streets and a very massive presence, much like we saw in front of the Iraq war, where we are relentless in terms of our support out in the streets and out in the public media with groups like Code Pink, Veterans for Peace, and the like, but just ramp that up to like the 100th scale and keep the pressure on all three levels, executive, legislative, as well as judicial.
Of what use do you see the Democratic Party at this time?
Zero. Zip. Nada. However, the one thing a politician wants more than anything else is to keep their job. So if we can put the pressure on where that is going to be threatened, that will get their attention.
Well, okay. Much you have put on the table for us to think about. Thank you very much, Walter, for your call today.
Very well.
Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Utrecht.
Good afternoon to you, Jay. How are you?
I'm good. It seems to me that, unfortunately, nothing is in place to stop Donald Trump and the people that surround him from doing what they're doing. If it hasn't happened yet, and if the things are not in motion yet. Sorry to say it, but that is just the blatant reality that, unfortunately, we don't want to address or face. Knowing that the president over there in North Korea is out of his mind, and you have a president here in this country who's out of his mind going on Twitter and antagonizing this individual and doing the things that he's doing instead of addressing these issues behind closed doors, you must know and realize that something is not right. And to have no one in the public sphere to be able to check him and to point out to him with any authority the type of fool that he is and the behavior that he's showing.
All right, let me ask you this. What do you think might work as a check against Donald Trump and his administration in this matter? What do you think is possible?
Nothing. Because you're not dealing with a rational individual. You're dealing with a person who feels he has a mandate to do what he's doing. You have the people who placed him in office not even concerned or caring whatsoever about what he's doing. They don't even think about the possibility of a third world war, a destruction of civilization. All they do is live under this delusion that he's going to bring back jobs and that America is going to be tough around the world, which is basically all he's doing is putting Americans and America and the world in harm's way.
But we did hear Maxine Waters. We did hear Maxine Waters, Jay, raise the question of possible impeachment. Is that a tactic that might work?
And listen, she's only one person who, to be honest and to be truthful, people don't even respect. It's another thing if somebody who is respected was to make a statement. It would be more progressive and more positive for the Democrats if Obama was to open up his mouth and point out to the American people what type of idiot this is.
Well, but you know, that's not likely to happen because we have this professional courtesy, for lack of a better term. He has been president, and as far as he's concerned, he is to be seen as being out of it, not impeding, no matter how dreadful Trump's actions are, but not impeding the current administration in any way, that he's taking a hands-off position. But what if the Democratic Party as a party and others were to I take your point, by the way, about Maxine Waters. What if, nonetheless, her suggestion about beginning impeachment proceedings, what if the party as a whole adopted this as a tactic?
They don't. Treese, please stop. You talk about this every day. They haven't shown no will.
Are you administering a beating in here on the air? Okay, what is it that you're saying now?
No. I mean, what I'm saying is they haven't shown any other things in the concerns of what you speak about. They haven't done anything. They have no vision. It's like I laugh all the time. I hear people talk about the Democratic Party, and you hear what the Jeffrey Lloyd said yesterday, and then these blacks jump on TV and get all upset and blah, blah, blah. But what's your plan? That's what Adam Clayton Powell said. What is your plan? You have no plan in place. You have no vision. The Democratic Party has nothing in place to curtail anything that Donald Trump has done or to even give the American people a different vision, a different way of moving forward to make the world better. It's a joke. The Democratic Party is not going to save nobody. They can't even save themselves. I mean, what we have here is a situation to whereas we are not able to articulate to the American people the madness that is putting forward by Donald Trump. There is nobody in the Democratic Party that could explain to the American people what this guy is doing is nothing but destruction to civilization, and then have the American people believe them, because they can't put anything forward. better. They can't show them, well, I can do this or we can do this and this will happen and that will happen. They don't have no plan, Utrice. They have no vision. You have to have a plan and a vision to get people to come to your side. It's just like all of the things that Donald Trump talked about on his campaign. If you notice, he's backtracked. And nobody's been able to articulate that to the American public to get them to see that the man did nothing but hoodwink, and lie to him. The most egregious thing in all of this to me is Jared Kushner. I think how do you put someone like that on the world stage to articulate a vision of a nation when the dummy don't know a damn thing? He's never dealt in any of these forms of policy or anything. He was in real estate. I mean, this is upsets me the most, because the Democratic Party cannot even get everyday average people to think about how a fool like this could be in this type of position to have influence over the world, and he don't know a damn thing.
Well, you put lot on the table for us to consider today, Jay. Thank you so much for your call. Thank you. Gwen from New York City, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrice. How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Well, you know, my stomach is in a knot, I guess, like everybody else's. Every day it gets more shock and awe-ish. And I think that's part of the problem, is that this man is completely unpredictable. And we know he's hostile. We know he's a hawk. But we don't know how fast he's going to move. And, you know, that was with unbelievable speed that he bombed Afghanistan yesterday, and with, you know, the hugest weapon he could find. And really, for what? So I guess what I wanted to bring to your attention, you might have heard him say this, but when I listen to him speak, I'm listening to how he's getting nice and comfortable with dictatorship. So he called the army yesterday his army.
Yes.
And I find that really troubling, because the more things fall into his possession, the less we look like a democracy, although we don't look like one too much now. But I also want to say that I am completely frustrated with all of the media coverage. I cannot make heads or tails of this, because everyone who I admire is just telling us different information. So I guess nobody has any information, but I really wish that no one would put information out until they can confirm this information. I listened to Glenn Greenwald yesterday, who I admire a lot, who said that Assad had used chemical weapons in the past, and he may have used them now. Okay, I listen every day to Gary Knoll, who thinks that Assad is actually a democratically elected president. The people actually like him. That he definitely did not do the chemical weapons. Might have even been actors that did that. Amy Goodman said this morning, for sure, the gas used is sarin, except for we haven't really heard anything. Well, it is kind of confusing, and I could be wrong about this, but my understanding of sarin, it is so deadly that if you touch a person who's been exposed to sarin, that you too are going to get the same fate. Now, I could be wrong about that. That was
no,
my
but
basic
that, you,
understanding.
You're absolutely right. Sarin gas is so toxic that just merely touching someone, which is one of the reasons, one of the clues that they said that even though, you know, the pictures were there and to go along with the narrative that this was sarin gas, that the first responders, if they were not properly protected, would have been dead themselves. But continue.
Mm-hmm. So for me to go out and have a conversation, I mean, my family is very, very involved in all of this. I've been an activist for years. I think my sister, my older sister, turned into me when President Trump got elected. And because of the death of my husband, I have not been so much up to par with getting into the streets as much as I used to. However, I have a sister who has really taken my place. It's unbelievable. But when we speak as a family, their information is basically coming from MSNBC and, you know, the three shows that are on every night there. Then there's my information where, you know, I'm listening to a lot of PR radio. I listen to BAI, and I listen to a little bit of regular news on ABC. And I guess what I was saying to my sister last night is that even things like the man that was pulled off the airplane the other day, when they spoke about him on TV originally, they said he was Chinese. He's not Chinese. He's Vietnamese. And yes. And just to me, it's not that is such a big deal. What's a big deal is that you shouldn't be putting things out there unless you confirm the facts. If you don't
well,
know
we,
you,
this has been a long-standing argument about the role of media. But I just want to come back to your original thesis about how are we to believe anything now that the media is saying, because you started off by describing a state of confusion. You don't know what to believe. And that is exactly one of the key indications that we are in full propaganda mode, so that we're all confused. What we should not allow ourselves to be confused about is what is most important to know here. And if the media aren't talking about the most important things to know, then you are safe to just turn it off. What is the most important thing to know here is what is being done about the U.S. conduct in all of this. The responsibility of the president under our own laws, under international law, that's the discussion that we need to have. And there is no confusion there.
Right.
We need to concentrate on how it is that this president has been behaving in this manner with apparent total freedom. He has not had anybody put him in check, and that's their job. The utter and complete collapse, in the United States at least. Other countries outside are fighting at this level. They're calling into question what now should be the role of the International Criminal Court, what should be the role of the United Nations. They're calling these issues into question, because there is where the problem can successfully be exposed. You know, who is anybody to say, well, it wasn't sarin gas, or it was chlorine gas, or it was some other form of nerve agent? That's not our expertise. But we can press the buttons so that an international team should go in there and come out with a specific finding. And we can bring to light the ways in which all of these nations, in one way or the other, have violated international law. This is the question that I've been talking about for a long time. I can't, you know, sitting here in my house, be the expert on who is doing what, who is right and who is wrong, and, you know, what gas was used. I don't know anything about that. But I can bring to bear some kind of inspection on the conduct of all parties involved, because we can see that there has been extraordinary misbehavior here, and nobody's dealing with that. You know, a president drops a 22,000-ton bomb, which, by the way, quote-unquote, killed 36 people associated with ISIS. Isn't it time somebody should say, well, wait a minute. Where did he get the authority to do that? Who in Congress agreed to that? Gave him permission under the War Powers Act to do that?
Right. But as you know, the problem is that you've had three other presidents before him do it. And two of them were Democrats.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying,
too.
So when you turn around...
It was illegal then. It's illegal now.
You find when it's Democrats doing it, everybody shut their mouth because you don't want to talk badly about your Democrat. But, you know, guess what? Here's where we are. We've created a monster. And so when you start talking about how come we're not following protocol, it's been diminished. It almost seems worthless. It almost seems like people are like, well, we haven't done it for the last four presidents. Why do we need to do it for this one? I mean, and I do think it's important to find out what happened with the gas. And I think the reason why is because he is saying, I reacted directly to this man poisoning his own people. Well, what if nothing happened? What if it was an accident and the gas escaped and we just attacked this country? Well, I mean, not that I think we should have attacked them anyway, but I think
here's a basic question.
Yeah, before you react, you better get the facts first.
Was this gas part of the surplus gas, if you could put it that way, that Hillary Clinton had smuggled into Syria? Is it that gas they're talking about?
I don't know.
Is there a reason?
I mean, that's the problem.
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
is there a reason that we don't know what this gas is, where it came from, how it got there?
I mean,
and
I think
you have a civil war where there mm-hmm. are at least 10 different sets of people bombing and fighting each other.
Right.
And yet there is absolute certainty, and this is what they're manufacturing consent about, mm-hmm. that all of the evil things that are happening is Assad.
Right.
Now, come on, we have to use our brain here. Let's say,
right.
Even if it turns out it's Assad, we cannot, as citizens, entrust solely to the government the task of determining what the truth is, because we know the governments lie, all of them.
Right.
Are you going to trust that Donald Trump is telling you the truth? Really? Are we to trust that the Trump administration is telling the truth?
Right.
We are entitled to having some degree, even via our representatives in Congress. We have a right. This is my point. Whoever turns out to be, whatever it turns out to be after, but there is a process. Why is nobody adhering to the process? The Trump and others, they're operating like a bunch of gangsters. We do what we want.
Right.
And put the whole world, as China says today, it is possible that we could be involved you and I and other people, ordinary people, we could be facing a cataclysmic event because our presidents and other heads of state are flouting the law. I mean, we had Barack Obama make the stupid and most bizarre argument for starting a war in Syria, saying, well, we're not fighting Assad, but we're chasing ISIS, and they went into Syria, and we're kind of following them. I mean, such a blatant contempt for the law, but he got away with it. Bill Clinton and his bombing in Kosovo.
Right. I guess the thing is that they pretty much let you know, and you've said this, is that it's you do the go along to get along, or you get the Jack Kennedy, which also is something to think about. Why is this man that everybody's able to identify as somebody who is going to blow up the White House or the president? He's all over the TV, but nobody can possibly find him anywhere. It's kind of compelling that this thing is running along the side of the road with all of these very major things happening at the same time. I just think that's kind of weird. And I just want to leave you with one last thing today. I said this to my mother the other day, and I'll never believe the story of 9/11. I don't believe in fairy tales, and I don't believe anything about a couple of airplanes knocking down three buildings. It didn't happen that way. But I think that because we are willing to swallow and absorb that fairy tale, we will never get to the truth. Until we come to the truth of that, we're not going to get to the truth of what's going on today. It's just more of the same piled on. So, you know, America needs to ask itself, are we willing to look at how that really happened, who was involved in what happened, or are we just going to keep, you know, turning a blind eye to it and acting like that didn't happen? The fact of the matter is that that was the catapult for all of this. And yes, it's a very dangerous thing to talk about. It certainly is dangerous to talk about that. But I don't see us getting any kind of relief or truth until we confront that and then look at all the dots that followed afterwards. I mean, I think everything sort of leads right back to 9/11. So that's just my personal opinion.
Thank you, Gwen, for contributing so meaningfully today. Thank you. We have Michael from New Jersey. you didn't get to finish your thought yesterday.
Yes, Utrees. Hi. Let me just take it off a speaker's phone. Because I agree with all the callers that have called so far, and I want to give my regards to all the PRN listening audience. I agree with everybody. Am I on?
Yes.
Okay. And there's this sowing of confusion that I think always precedes a shift towards authoritarianism. And I see a connection between authority and confusion, fear. And I think that the media and the various ways of communication, mass communication, is sowing fear and confusion in the population so that we can be ushered into a more authoritarian way of life. And I think, you know, it's our fault, really, because, as you say, there aren't the proper breaks out there. There aren't the proper the proper things in place to stop this happening when we see it going on, because of this authority, this so-called authority. As you notice, as the speakers were talking about, we've seen this again and again. This is an old movie that we keep seeing on television every time we turn it on. Whether you talk about the Kennedy assassination, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, 9/11, Iran-Contra, and weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Do you remember the same thing happened? Hans Blix, there was confusion, conflicting information. We didn't have the right information. You have news behind the news, and you don't know which news is right. This is confusing. And the confusing says, well, we need some authority, some strength to put us on the right course. And that authority always leads us to disaster, because it's getting more and more of a crisis, because as time goes on, you have these wars that are getting more and more. They're building these weapons. I don't separate the means from the end. If you're building massive weaponry and armaments, you're going to use them. The means of doing it is the end. So if you build a mother of all bombs, you're going to use it, and they have. They want to see it work. So this is a problem. And and we saw that with Hans Blix giving one story, Judith Miller on the front of New York Times giving another story, getting it straight from Dick Cheney through Scooter Libby. And then after the fact, you know, Judith Miller spends a little time in jail because of some journalistic, legalistic issues, but now she's a contributor on Fox News, so she's right back again. And we've seen this over and over again, repeating, and every step of the way we're getting to accommodate ourselves to more and more authority and less opportunity to break that authority, that power, that's really, in my view, evil.
Yeah, so, we are talking, you and I, a day after the largest non-nuclear bomb was dropped in Afghanistan.
Exactly.
And with no this was not discussed in Congress. Who gave the order to the president that on his 84th day in office, this is something he could do?
Right. Well, we don't have a lemon law for a president.
We need a lemon law for president. But we do have, that's called impeachment.
Right.
When you believe that you are the law, and he's sitting there surrounded by all these military people and talking about them as if, you know, these are my guys. You know, they're just great. Their bombs are the best, and they did a great job.
Right.
Well, and now what happens in the aftermath? What is the aftermath? We don't even know.
We don't know.
He still is in the mode of regular warfare.
That's right.
Where you go and, you know, next thing you know, he would demand that they will meet at an open field and U.S. soldiers will occupy one end and some other soldiers would occupy the other end and they go to war. War is asymmetrical. It's coming to us in all kinds of ways we never expected. War is being fought by teenagers with remote control bombs. War is being fought in cities, not in open space. War is being fought by people who start off committed to dying for the cause. You know, this is not the old ways of doing war. We have a whole new concept of war. You're not going to, if there are one or two left, they will continue because they're committed. Not like U.S. soldiers. These people who are involved in this jihadist movement and in other movements that are based on nationalism, very, very serious nationalism, like people fighting to defend the honor of their country and so forth. We don't understand that kind of commitment to war, that years after you're dead and gone, they're still at it.
Right.
So but we have clearly an indication that whatever apparatus we are supposed to believe is a safeguard against a renegade, a rogue president, it doesn't exist. Or maybe it exists and the people who should press that button to make it work are too cowardly to do their job.
We don't have a system in place because the Senate and the House are full of lobbyists. Those people are lobbyists first and legislators second. I mean, they legislate based on their lobbying. You have some people who are lobbyists for the drug companies primarily. They get most of their money from that. You have other people who are lobbyists from the military-industrial complex, like Lindsey Graham and these people. So you have a bunch of lobbyists in the House and the Senate who have different constituencies, Wall Street, the big banks, the drug companies, the pharmaceutical companies. And I have Leonard Lance here where I am in New Jersey, and he's a big – we have a lot of pharmaceuticals here in New Jersey. They have a big constituency because there are a lot of pharmaceuticals that are based in New Jersey. And so he represents them, and he'll make decisions based on what's good for them. He's out front about it. I mean, these people are lawyers. They can talk the ass off a donkey, and they know how to do it, and they're lobbyists. And then after that, they can have their opinions about the wars and opinions about things that are going on. But essentially, they're lobbyists for different constituencies, power groups that support them, give them money. And they want to be near power, et cetera, et cetera.
So, yeah, but, you know, they could die just the way we do. And here we are the day after this major bombing. And, you know, members of Congress don't seem to think it constitutes a crisis. They're at home preparing for Easter.
Yes, I think they're a little more comfortable with it.
You know, this thing should have caused, I mean, just a sea, a flood of people heading down to Washington, D.C. to find out what new medications Donald Trump ought to be put on.
Well, yes, that's right. You know, with all of these things, 9/11 and each one of these things, you don't see them putting yellow tape around it as a crime scene and investigating it forensically to find out what happens. Rather, we're expected to accept authority from the FBI, the NSA, the CIA, all these 17 agencies and billions of people who all seem to have authority. They all seem to have top secret clearance, millions, tens of thousands of people, and they know. They come on and they say, yes, it was gas, yes, it was Assad. And then we hear, we go on other networks or other websites, and we say, hey, that's not the case. Here's more information. So there's news behind the news, and we're going to go on and find out this news behind the news, behind that news. And that's why I don't read nonfiction. I think nonfiction is fiction.
Thanks for your call today.
You're welcome.
I'm glad that you were able to finish your thoughts, which you didn't get to do yesterday. Thank you so much. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Teresa, how's it going?
I'm hanging in. How are you?
I'm doing good. Wanted to say hello to everybody in the PRN audience listening and calling in as well.
Thank you.
Just a brief analysis on the situation that's going on. I know you've talked about this a lot from your school of media literacy. You know, what's important is what they talk about, but what's also important is what they're not talking about.
Amen.
And I think the end game in this is the conquering of Iran. I think because, you know, they're talking about, you know, bombing Syria and Afghanistan. They're not talking about Iran, which I think is the end game for them. They want Iran. And once they conquer Syria, which is a bordering country in Iran, they'll have their opportunity to, you know, invade that country. So I think that's the end game for the military and political elite in the Middle East is that country.
Well, I think you use a very important word, which you should always keep in mind when you're discussing this thing, and that's what they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It is not going to work out that way. And the United States has a long enough history, a long and documented history of being wrong about a lot of things they assumed that they could do and get away with it.
Yes.
This is a new day.
And that right there will throw us into World War III immediately when they try to attack Iran. But quickly, Utrecht, can I give a report what's going on here in Chicago real quick?
Sure.
Last week, I want to give a report on the boycott of the beauty supply Misha's, the store that is owned by the Korean people who were the young black woman about a month and a half ago was attacked in. There's the store that we're trying to boycott here in Chicago. Well, apparently last week one of the demonstrators was physically threatened by, I guess, a store employee of that place. Also, too, there were boxes coming out through the back of the store. Now, from my understanding, somebody was saying that they might have bought another storefront about 10 miles away from where they're located at. No coincidence, another black community, and they might be moving. So, and then also, too, People in that neighborhood have been saying that that store has not been getting a lot of business lately. So it seems like it's working. They're threatening. They're physically threatening us. So that right there is a sign that something is going on where they're being frustrated by the people of the community because they're not going to tolerate what happened in North Carolina. Also, too, last week, an event took place with one of the grassroots organizations that we work with a lot, New Era Chicago. They were in the Inglewood neighborhood of Chicago, a neighborhood that, you know, most people in the nation often read about as one of the most deadliest, you know, neighborhoods in Chicago. There was an event that they sponsored called Hood to Hood, where they were basically going into the community and basically engaging with the people in the community and also doing cleanup in the community. It's very important, you know, to keep our neighborhoods clean because of the fact that the positive aesthetics that you have with, you know, with a clean environment, you know, and it brings, you know, positive attitudes as well. So they were in the neighborhood, you know, engaging and also doing cleanup. Well, apparently, towards the end of the event, the police were actually monitoring them. And towards the end of the event, there was an unprovoked attack by the police who were there. And basically, and New Era wasn't, they weren't trying to shut down the business. They weren't demonstrating anything. They were just basically there doing cleanup and engaging in the community. And they were basically attacked by the police. So the police basically arrested a couple of people for misdemeanors. What I'm trying to get at is what we're doing here is being noticed. And it's being noticed by the authorities. It's being noticed by a lot of people who don't want to see, you know, black and brown people take over their communities in a positive way because there's a plan that's going on here in Chicago, and it's called gentrification. They're trying to move all the minorities out of this city so all the rich white people can, you know, take over Chicago. So when they see something like this of empowerment, you know, they kind of, you know, they swarm upon you just to make sure that, hey, you can't do that because, you know, you're trying to change your community on your own. You need our help in order for your community to be viable and successful. So Something is working here, and I'm actually proud to say that. Even though like I said, the event ended up pretty violent, you know, they are taking notice of this.
Well, that's a thing that a community also has to commit to, the idea that when you're doing things and you understand what is behind the action that you contemplate taking, you also consider the reaction to what it is you're taking, and you've done so. The thing is to just be careful. You can't be too careful, but you have to be careful. But also look at the incredible impact that a small effort has grown into and is having in the community. And you know, the resistance is coming from the traditional, I mean, it's nothing new, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is where it traditionally has come from. But just go ahead and do your thing. You'll find that by example, you will attract a great deal of support. People are looking for leaders, and that's what mm-hmm. they're seeing. The emergence yeah. of leaders. Everybody participating in this effort is showing leadership, not the mm-hmm. old-fashioned style of leadership where you have one leader, but the fact that everybody has something to contribute as a leader in creating a better way and a better day for their own communities. And that is the kind of leadership we need. Right now, as I'm saying, we are at war. And
yeah.
we have no leadership here. We yeah. are at war. And we are encouraged by just the media and the government and the apparatus and even, you know, the members of Congress themselves to hallucinate. We are supposed to pretend that everything is all right. Yeah, you know, Donald Trump is a little problematic, but in the end, it's about making him see, you know, his errors and improving him. That's not our job. Our job is to make sure we survive, and our job is to hold responsible the people who are elected to do exactly that, to protect the nation, not to have it ensnared in all kinds of wars all the time.
Yes.
So that's the end of our program. Thanks a lot, and I'm so happy that you were able to give this update on the effort that you and others undertook in Chicago to make the neighborhood a better place. That's great, because that's where it starts, right? At the end of the day, you come home. And then what is that supposed to be, right? It's supposed to be the way you envision it. That's what it's supposed to be. Well, we've come to the end of the program. I'm so happy and encouraged by the fact that we have not lost our minds. We're still capable of thinking, and we are thinking the right way. I'm not saying this boastfully, but it's true. And this is the way we ought to be. We ought to be brave enough to see that the majority, if you will, isn't always right, isn't always sane, isn't always clear about what it is they're doing. And now the question is, we find ourselves increasingly alone because the courage it takes to stand up, we can't find it in our leadership, in our current leadership. We have to be our own leaders. And we have to be the ones asking the questions, demanding the answers, demanding the truth. So thank you for that. Stay tuned. Coming up next is Alternative Visions with Dr. Jack Rasmus. You always learn something new from him. You can reach me at Lead Stories, L-E-I-D, stories, plural, at gmail.com. And let me know what you're thinking. A pleasure always and a great privilege to be in your company. It's the weekend. Surround yourselves with positive people and run like hell away from people who are not. We'll see each other Monday. Bye-bye.